And now on Radio 4, it's that time of the day that people have told you about, but you didn't really believe existed. A time when you can forget about your cares and worries, relax in a lukewarm bath, and loofah the dry skin off your feet, listening to the show business legend, raconteur, after-dinner speaker, and twice winner of the Noblinese Prize at West Yorkshire Foundry's Christmas Party, 1968 to 1969, Count Arthur Strong. Having long since retired from Noblinese competitions following a freak accident, Count Arthur has become one of the most respected judges on the Noblinese circuit and would probably be in line for an OBE for it if enough people nominated me. Him. Join him now for this week's instalment of
Count Arthur Strong's Radio Show.
How big the moon looks in the night sky! What a flipping rotten stroke of luck! My horse and cart breaking down on the night of the full moon, in the middle of nowhere, in these woods which are purported to house haunted vampires. Hello, what's this big building over here? Ah, so this is Dracula's kettle. Castle, observe castle. I smell evil. So you're Dracula. See how you like this, then.
You only make the sign of the cross because you are afraid of me.
Count Arthur Strong is afraid of no man, Dracula. Dead or undead, or even dead. I am fearless, I tell you, fearless. But yes, I suppose I am afraid. Afraid of what will happen to this country I love if I fail to stop you. This septic tank set in a silver... This septic aisle served on a silver salver by a civil servant. I am afraid for England and good King Larry.
Such noble sentiments. You will fail to destroy me as all who have gone before you did. You are an old fool.
Yeah, just what you're calling a fool, you.
Why? What are you going to do about it, fatso?
I'm not fat, and anyway, I'd rather be fat than suck people's blood out of the necks. It's horrible, that. I don't know how you can do it. I mean, I'll eat black pudding, but that's as far as it goes with me. You must be twisted round the bend.
Come over here and say that.
No, you come over here, pasty face.
You cheeky sod.
Hey, now, there's no call for that sort of language, you cheeky sod. You're not too big or too evil to get a damn good hiding.
Oh, yes? You and whose army?
Just me, sunshine, just me.
Come on, then.
I'm coming, don't you worry. Oh, here, before I do. I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you know the werewolf?
I might do.
Right, well, listen. When he turns into a werewolf, does he go to the toilet like we do? Or does he cock his leg?
I tire of your stupidity. Come and face me like a man.
Right, I will. Ooh, did you hear that?
What? I didn't hear nothing.
That was the sound of the cock mooing. Croaking. Oh, crowing! You defo git. And now the sun's coming up and it's starting to get light. I've rather cleverly kept you up arguing all night. And now you're starting to shrivel up and decompost. See, there goes an arm. Ooh, now it's your leg. Well, what's that I spy bouncing down the path? Looks like one of Dracula's testicles. Never mind, old son, you'll not be needing the old wedding treacle now, will you, eh? Ha-ha! Got you there, haven't I? Eh? You'll have to get up out of your coffin earlier than that to get that ringing. What's ringing? Telephone, get that someone. Where's it going? Hello? Can't speak now. The telephone's ringing. Oh, it stopped. Oh, don't tell me that's broken again. Goodbye. Good, good. Now, what was I doing? I was having a dream, wasn't I? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Imagine not knowing whether a werewolf cocks its leg or not. I mean, I wasn't saying follow him around, but, you know, you can have a little squint when you're stood up against the urinals, can't you? We've all done it. Oh, it's working again. Hello, you're through to Count Arthur Strong talking to you. Can you hear me? Only I have been having some trouble with this phone.
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent, so that's back on. Thank you for your help. Goodbye. Oh, they were on top of that, the phone people. I didn't think I'd reported it yet. Oh, who is this again now? Hey, I don't mind it working, but I don't want to have to listen to it working. Hello, who's that?
Arthur, it's Barry. I've been trying to call you.
Oh, have you? Well, my phone's been on the blink. They've fixed it now. What are you phoning for anyway? I'm seeing you in a couple of hours at the Hammer Horror reunion. Here, you've written for them, haven't you? Did you ever write a scene that the werewolf went to the lavatory in?
No. Why would anyone want to see that?
It's nothing to be ashamed of, Barry. We all do it. Well, except a bloody werewolf by the looks of it.
Listen, you didn't go off with my briefcase last night, did you?
Was it a brown one with brass-coloured buckles, a handle on top and a I've been to Filey sticker on it?
Yes.
No.
Because that's got the invitations in for the Hammer lunch.
Well, you better not have lost them. Where did you last have it?
When I bumped into you yesterday.
Have you looked everywhere? I always start by looking everywhere.
Well, yes, but I thought I'd check with you. Wouldn't be the first time you've gone off with something of mine. You've still got my overcoat and a pair of red socks and my reading lamp and my birth certificate.
I hope you're not implying what I think you're implying, Barry. I'll have you know I'm as honest as the day is round.
Let me have another look for my briefcase and I'll call you back.
Oh, no, I'm going for a bit of breakfast. Meet me in Jerry's. I'm that hungry I could eat a werewolf on horseback.
So it's today then, is it? Your Hammer film do?
It is, Jerry.
What's it in aid of?
I don't know. 40 or 50 years since they hammered the first nail in.
Which one were you in then?
Well, I'd forgotten I'd done it, but it was one Barry did some writing on. I spit in your gravy. I was a gravy digger, digging for gravy in it. And I had to say, did you hear that? And then I got my head chopped off with a shovel from behind, and I came back as a dolphin.
A dolphin?
No, not a dolphin. A zombie. Anyway, someone burnt me to death or something in the end. Although, if I remember correctly, the only way you can kill a dolphin is with a silver bucket.
Is it? I'm not really up on all that.
Well, you want to hope a dolphin doesn't come knocking on your door in the dead of night.
Well, I don't think there's any fear of that.
You never know. The film people must have got the idea from somewhere.
What are you having, then?
Well, I don't know why, Jerry, but I woke up craving blood this morning, and my lust must be satiated. I'll have double black pudding on toast with a cup of your finest Gypsy Rosalie.
I'll bring it over.
Oh, look, there's Sally over there. I'll give her a fright. Hello!
Oh, what are you doing that for?
Well, Sally, as Hilary Edmonds said when he climbed the Arga, because I was there.
I've spilt tea on me book.
Well, you shouldn't be leafing through a book near tea. Boom, boom, do you get it? Tea leaf, eh? That's a thief in Cockney chiming slang, that is, a tea leaf. Plates of feet, meat, apples and stairs, pears. Lionel flares. What's that you're reading? One of your Jean Pleiades?
I'm reading a book on bridge.
Oh, bridge. Oh, yes, bridge. Oh, it's a good game, is that, bridge?
Have you played it?
Oh, yes, I'm very good at bridge. They all used to say that.
All right, if you've got 13 to 15 points in your hand and no five-card suit, what should your opening bid be?
Let's see. A pound?
No.
£1.50?
No.
£1.75, that's as far as I'm going.
You don't bid money, you have conventions. If you have a certain number of points, you make a bid to let your partner know.
Well, we must have played a different version.
There's only two kinds of bridge. There's auction bridge and contract bridge.
Which one are you learning?
Contract bridge.
Well, that'll be it then. It was the other one we used to play. The non-contact bridge one, where the players are not allowed to touch each other. Or any of the cards. It could go on for days. Oh, here he is. Have you found your case?
No, I haven't. Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Well, you better find it. It said on those tickets there's free drinks and canopies on. Yeah? I'm not missing that. Why would the pup they have a canopy on there?
Canapés, you eat them. Have you never had a canapé?
Of course I have. I have them all the time. I had a massive canapé for my breakfast. Oh, yes, it was a very nice one. Have you looked everywhere?
Yes, of course I've looked everywhere.
What you ought to do is have your case monocled to your wrist in future on a chain. Perhaps we wouldn't be in this predicament then.
I'm not going round with a briefcase monocled on my wrist.
Have you gone through your movements in your mind? That sometimes helps.
Yes, I have. I'm fine up until I bumped into you last night. Then it all gets a bit hazy.
I could try to hypnotise you.
I am not going to be hypnotised.
When Patricia Evans lost her wedding ring, she went to a medium.
I'm not going to a medium.
What happened?
Well, she said that the woman went into a trance and started talking in a voice like Ray Winston.
Who's Ray Winston?
Oh, he's on the telly. Anyway, she said her spirit guide was saying the ring was beside running water. Look beside running water. There you will find your ring, you muppet. When she got home, she looked everywhere that was by running water. Nothing. Then she got her husband to look under the bathroom sink in the U-bend.
Was it there?
No, there was a lot of hair on a cotton bud. It was very disgusting.
A cotton bud? Oh, wonderful. What was the point in telling us that?
I was just saying.
Well, do me a favour, will you? Don't just say. If you ask me, that Ray Winston's a charlatan. He wants locking up. You know, my great-auntie was a medium to large. Yeah. She used to do seances. When I was little, she used to put me in a trance and a guide would talk through me. She used to bring me out of it by getting her parrot to peck me on the nose. Yeah. That's why I can't stand parrots. That and messed down my sailor suit. Here, come on, join hands. We'll have a go now.
What?
Join hands.
We're in the cafe.
Oh, never mind that. Do you want to find your glasses case or not? Come on, Sally.
All right, do we have to do anything?
No, not you. You just empty your head, if there's anything there in the first place.
I don't feel comfortable doing this in here.
Can I have complete silence, please? I call upon my spirit guide. Oh, guide, we beseech you. Can you see Barry's staircase?
Briefcase.
Shush.
Here's your tea, Arthur. What are you doing?
Oh, what does it look like? We're having a seance. In fact, it would help very much if you put your lights out a minute. Here, now, have you got any black candles?
What do you mean, put the lights out? I'm running a cafe. You can't have a seance in here.
Oh, I just finished emptying me head.
Sorry, Jerry, I'd let myself get talked into it.
Oh, blimey, what a turncoat. I cannot tell a lie, Father. It was him, Abraham Lincoln.
Right, well, whatever's going on, not in here, please.
How about for hypnotising? We wouldn't need the lights out for that.
No.
Well, I think he's been very narrow-headed. People would flock here if I was doing seances. They'd all need refreshments after talking to the dead. He'd be minting it in. And I'm trying to help you here, Barry. You could have been more supportive.
Well, yes, I'm just not sure a seance is the best way to do it, though.
Right, listen. Let's try some literal thinking. Where did I bump into you last night? Can you remember that?
I just got off the bus, outside the furniture shop in the High Street.
Right, follow me.
Where are we going?
We're going to do a police reconstruction. Come on.
There's the furniture shop, look.
Right, we'll start in there. They might have seen something. They've got a clear view of the bus stop from there. Here, we're just like Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Crippen, aren't we? Right, let me do the talking. You just keep saying, "Great Scott," and "Good Lord," and things like that.
Good morning.
Ah, is it? Is it a good morning? I see by the clock on the wall that it is in fact afternoon by some 3 minutes.
Oh, is it? Oh, good afternoon, then.
As you say, good afternoon.
Great Scott.
What?
I was just saying Great Scott, you know.
No, not now. Say it at an appropriate moment, like when I've done some clever working out.
Right.
Are you just browsing, or do you need any help?
We'd like to look at some bunk beds. We're fed up of the twin beds, aren't we, Sherlock?
Bunk beds? What are you on about? Oh, I get it. Do I detect a little bit of resentment there, Barry, because of the casting?
No, I'm fine with it.
Well, it doesn't seem like that. Do you want to find your nutcase, eh? I'm doing this for you, you know.
So, bunk beds, was it?
No, that's just him being stupid. There'd only be a fight for who sleeps in the top one, the mood he's in, wouldn't there?
Yeah, so what can I do for you?
Yesterday evening, outside your very window, two gentlemen answering to the descriptions of us had an assignation at the bus stop. Were you party to that rendezvous?
What?
Good Lord!
And I see from the stain on your trousers that you've recently been kneeling on grass.
Has someone put you up to this?
Or you? Don't you think now would be an appropriate moment for an ejaculation?
Great Scott.
Oh, I'm not doing this anymore. You're thwarting me off at every turn, aren't you? Hey, do you recognise us?
Well, I recognise him. He's Barry Cryer. I don't know who you are.
Oh, very hilarious, eh? I don't think we need to question this person any further. He obviously knows nothing. Here, and I'll tell you something else. We'll be getting our bunker beds from another shop now, won't we, Dr. Watford? Eh? So, you've lost a sale there. Good day.
Good God.
Oh, it's too late for that now. Right, well, what we've established there is one of two things. Either we were there, we weren't there, or we were there and that idiot didn't see us there, or two, we were never there at all.
That's four things.
Don't let yourselves get bogged down by statistics, Gary. A lot of mathematicians go mad, you know. They have a very high insanity rate, second only to dentists. No wonder peering in people's gobs all day. Oh, I couldn't do it. Mind you, I don't mind going. That drink they give you to rinse out is quite potent, you know, if you swallow it.
So what are we going to do now, then? It's 12:15.
The bloody thing starts at 1. Where did we go when we left the bus stop?
You were there as well.
I haven't got time to remember where I've been. My head's full of more important things than that. There's so much in there, I have to employ a filtering system. Some of the things I do don't even get near my head. Not even in the same street.
You dragged me to the shoulder of mutton, didn't you?
Oh, that sounds like a plan. Right, you can do all the talking this time. You seem to be inferring earlier that you could do a better job than me.
It wasn't that. I just didn't see why it should be taken for granted that you'd be Holmes.
Well, you know, Barry, some people find it easier to assume the mantelpiece of leadership. Go on, then. You have a crack at being Shamrock Holmes. As Hemlock Holmes. Oh, Gridlock bloody Holmes, whatever he's called.
Jack.
Hello, Barry. Arthur.
Did I leave my briefcase in here last night?
No, we've had nothing handed in.
Right, thanks.
Is that it? Hey, is that your lot? You should be telling Jack what he had for his breakfast, where he gets his shoes from, and that he recently bought a ukulele with two strings on it from a car boot sale.
I just want to find my bag now.
You could have made a better fist of it than that. Well, I suppose we might as well have a drink now we're here. I believe it is a legal requirement once you're over the threshold. Come on, you're the closest to the bar.
I got all the drinks last night.
What you forgot, Barry, is we are doing a deconstruction, aren't we? Eh? Everything must be as it was last night. Otherwise, the whole point of it would be pointless. I can't go buying pints willy-nilly. I can't overemphasize that enough. Now I'll be sitting over there. Pum, 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 pum.
Right, this is the only drink we're having.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? After all I've put myself through today for you and your bloody satchel, eh? Dear, oh dear, that's the thanks I get. I had plans for today, you know, and here I am reconstructing myself. What are we going to do about those tickets, then? I could murder a plate of canapés, eh? How did you get home from here last night?
Taxi. I checked with them first. Well, we can't go, can we? The ticket said strictly no admittance without the invitation.
Well, we'll have to have another one here, then.
No, definitely not. I'm going to finish my drink and go home. This is all I'm having. And Dr. Watson said, "Great Scott, why have you painted the front door yellow, Holmes?" And Holmes said, "It's a lemon entry, my dear Watson."
Entry. Oh, dear. 11. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh. Oh. I don't get it.
A lemon entry. You know, elementary. A lemon entry. Elementary. A lemon entry.
Elementary. Lemon entry. Elementary. Lemon entry. That's not funny. It's not even English.
No, it was the colour of his door.
That's not a colour.
Elementary. A lemon entry. A lemon entry.
I'd like to see you asking for that colour at home base.
What are we going to do now, then?
I thought you were going home 2 hours ago.
What do I want to go home for? Let's go to a late-night club.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right, listen. Let's go to the Hammer thing anyway. It doesn't finish until 5. They recognise us. I mean, I'm you, you're me.
Well, it's a bold plan, Gary. I'll give you that. Sod it, I'm famished. Come on, we'll blog our way in. The sooner I get a big canopy inside me, the better. That's a place, isn't it? Oh, look, it's all roped off and everything. Oh, he's a big chap on the door. He's built like a brick-shaped griller. Right, come on then, you go first.
Why me? Why do I have to go first?
Because, Barry, earlier you were complaining that I unfairly assumed the mantelpiece. So I'm giving you a wonderful opportunity to disprove yourself dispensable.
Well, thank you, Arthur, thank you. That means a lot. I won't forget this.
Yes, you will.
Will I?
You always do.
Do I?
Well, for instance, can you remember being on top of a bus shelter last night with a traffic cone on your head singing, "I feel pretty"?
No.
Well, then, I put it to you that you are your own Exhibit A. Right, come on, or there'll be nothing left to drink, and they'll have dismantled all those edible canopies.
Hello.
Afternoon, gents.
Can we come in?
No, no, no. That's rubbish. Dear, oh dear. Use your brain. Think like Headlock Holmes.
Sorry, can I do that again? It's the first time he's let me do this. A little bit nervous.
Go on.
Looking at your tie tells me you had an egg for breakfast. You drive a Ford Focus, and you almost certainly have a dog, a wire-haired terrier. And you are an... Don't tell me. You are an Aquarius. Now can we come in?
I'm going to have to ask you to move on, gents.
Oh, look, we have got invitations.
Oh, well, that'll be no problem at all then, sir. Can I see them?
No, no, you can't. I want you to, but for reasons beyond my control, I am not able...
Oh, I've had enough of this. You're just waffling, Barry. If Shamrock Holmes heard that, he'd be falling off the Rickenbacker Falls. I'll take over. Listen, Moriarty, or whoever you call yourself. Do you know who I am?
No, sir.
Do you know who Barry Cryer is?
No, I don't.
Right, OK, I'm going to have to come at this another way. I know. Do you know why you're stood here tonight, young man?
Yes.
Well, then I'll tell you. You wouldn't be standing here in gainful employment today if it weren't for selfless people like me who had their heads chopped off with a shovel and came back as an undead dolphin. I pay your wages. Now let me in or I'll report you to the burgomaster.
Here, here.
Barry, what are you doing up there? Come down off that bush shelter.
I feel pretty, oh, so pretty. I'm so pretty and witty and gay.
Oh, for crying out loud, not again. Come on, let's get you to that minicab office. I've never been so embarrassed.
I'm sorry, Arthur.
So you should be. That's on your record now, you know, a police caution. I can't turn me back on you, can I? What is it with you and bush shelters?
Well, I like climbing. I'm a good climber, me.
You were only 6 foot off the ground. It's hardly the KY2. Oh, here, I want to nip in Wilf's first and get something to eat, which I'm furious with you about. I've got a carrier bag in me pocket and everything. I was going to fill it up with canopies, marquees, awnings in general. Now I'm having to lay out money out. By rights, Barry, you should recompense me for that. You lost the tickets.
I will. Can I get some yellow paint as well for my lemon entry?
Hello, Arthur. Barry.
Wilf.
Hello, Wilf.
What have you two been up to?
Practicing.
Practicing what?
Climbing.
Climbing what?
Special K2.
Oh, don't take any notice of him. You're not bloody climbing anything, you. It's in sodden Tibet for a start. Now stop it. I want something to eat, Wilf. What have you got that I like?
Oh, let's think. Oh, hang on a minute.
What's he doing?
I bet you're pleased to see that again.
Where did he get that from?
That's my briefcase.
You left it in here yesterday, Arthur.
I beg your pardon, I did not leave that in here.
Yes, you did.
You must be confusing me with someone totally different that looks exactly like me, who left that in here instead of me.
Arthur, you went off with it. You've done it again, haven't you?
For crying out loud. Listen, Barry, I'd love to stand here chatting, but I have to shoot off now to prepare the base camp for your ascent tomorrow. You know, all the ropes and Sherpa vans and everything. I'll see you in Tibet. Don't forget to wrap up warm. It's cold at the summit.
Appearing with Count Arthur Strong were Mel Gedroych, Alistair Kerr, Dave Mountfield and Barry Cryer as himself. The script was written by Steve Delaney and edited by Graham Duff. Count Arthur Strong's radio show was recorded live at the Dance House Manchester, is produced by John Leonard and Mark Radcliffe, and is a joint Comedia Entertainment and Smooth Operations production.